Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel just read from Matthew 22. We like either-or questions, don't we? Because they're easy. It's as easy as a computer flipping between 0 and 1. And we like that because it's comfortable. And that way you can be sure that you're in the right way. Or at least the hope is that you're in the right way. So they came to Jesus to test him. And they ask him an either-or question. They say, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And we like the implications of that question, because either it's okay that there's the IRS, or in that day, the Roman tax authority, or we should rebel, and then we get to keep our money. And that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, oh my, that ended up being pretty loud. It still seems like a simple matter, even when Jesus takes the coin and he says, show me the coin. Whose inscription is on it? It seems like it's easy to divide between rendering to Caesar and rendering to God. That seems like it's pretty simple. I mean, obviously the things that are Caesar's, the money goes to him, although again, we'd like to keep some of it. And the things that are God's, well, wait a minute, what are the things of God? Well, we have enough trouble just rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, just rendering the things of this life to the people that they belong to. Would that it were so simple that we knew how to perfectly obey our parents, perfectly obey other authorities like policemen or elected officials. Would that we could build ideal societies on that foundation, that people would perfectly render to their earthly authorities the things that are due to them, whether honor or money or whatever it is. If we could just treat each other with human dignity, it would be a start toward a better society, a better life here on earth. Well, Jesus challenges us with this text, because even if we got all of those things right, if children were perfectly obedient, if we perfectly did obey other authorities and our elected authorities and didn't speak out against the president, and we did have a perfect society where everyone treated each other with dignity, we still have this other problem that Jesus is talking about. He says, render to God the things that are God's. Can we really do that? Just as there's an image on the coin, Jesus points out that there's an image on each of us that bears some consideration. God put it there in the beginning. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. From Genesis chapter 1. We were made as image bearers. We were made to be righteous and obedient, to love God, to love what is good, what God says is good. And we were made to be pure in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. What on earth happened? Because we can see that that's not the case anymore, right? Sin happened. And with it, sin brought into the world unrighteousness and disobedience. It brought hatred of God and love of self and love for what is evil and contrary to God's will. And it brought an uncleanness that goes so deep down into our hearts that without God's help in His Word, we can't fully plumb the depths of it. And with that, death also came. And death spread to all men because all sinned. Using the image of a coin as the analogy, when sin came into the world, the image that God had made in us was so marred that it went down to the very substance of that coin. And what remains is just the faintest shadow of the original. It's like a penny that has been rubbed beyond recognition, except worse than that, because even that just covers the outward appearance. Sin corrupted us so deeply that from conception, we're even infected with it. We're even corroded with it, to think of ourselves as coins. Because the original mint, Adam and Eve, became corrupt, all of their offspring have also become corrupt. David says in Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And that's why Jesus says in John 3, "Flesh gives birth to flesh. Sinners give birth to more sinners." And because of sin, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God." There is no solution of vinegar and salt that we can use to clean our sin off, because it goes deeper than that. Jesus says, "Out of the heart of man come all manner of evil." Out of our very heart, down to the bottom part of our being, without changing us out of being human beings. And there is no alchemy that can change that metal into something pure again, except by God's ways. And even still, God says we must give an account. We must render to God the things that are God's. How are any of us able to stand on the last day when we stand against the righteous judgment of God? God could have destroyed us altogether. He could have just started from scratch. He came close to that before the flood, where in Genesis 6 it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them.'" Right there, God could have just made a complete end of us. He could have started over. He could have said, "Back to the drawing board, let's go back to Genesis 1 again." Then it would be a kind of infinite regress. How many times does God go back to the drawing board? But we won't go there. Instead, God says in verse 8 of Genesis 6, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." His solution was not to destroy all humanity, but he wanted to redeem humanity. His solution was to send one like a son of man who stands in our place. He is the one who is like us in every way except without sin, because he was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is at the same time the exact imprint of God's divine nature, and he is at the same time our brother in the flesh. Therefore, he is able to render to God the things that are God's, the things that we by right, O God. He is the perfect man, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the propitiation for our sins. And as Pilate presented him as he stood there with a crown of thorns, he said, "Behold the man." Jesus stands before God as the exact imprint of that image that he first gave to Adam and Eve. And he's the only one who can save us who have lost that image through sin. who have lost that image because of sin. And baptism is the beginning of the restoration of that image. And it's in fact what God's will is for us all along, to restore us through water. I'd like you to take your pew Bibles and turn to page 942. We're going to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 on page 942. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Jesus saves us by his innocent suffering and death on the cross, and by his rising again to immortality. And baptism brings that saving death and resurrection to you, just as we saw it brought to Miles today and David a few weeks ago. Now let's turn to Titus chapter 3. That's on page 999. At the top of page 999, I'll read verses 5 through 7. He, God our Savior, saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God saved us through water, through a washing, and not just any washing, not a bath on Sunday morning before church, but a washing that carries with it the power of regeneration and renewal. God's way of saving us is through the waters, as we pray during the baptismal rite. God starts a new creation in us by the Holy Spirit. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, he destroys what is old. He destroys what is evil, what is dead, what is not good in his sight. And then he creates and renews us, not according to our sinful nature, but according to the hope of eternal life, that God is bringing us forward to something better than this, something perfect again, something that we lost when we were cast out of Eden. And baptism has that power to renew us by the Holy Spirit. One more verse. We turn back to Colossians chapter 3, page 984. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. Page 984. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That is filled with baptismal language. You have died. Miles doesn't know much about that, but us who are older know more because we've heard these words. God has called us to die with Christ. Die to sin. Put off what is evil. Put it to death. Nail it to the cross. And then rise to live as a new creation. God begun that good work in us in the waters of holy baptism, and it continues in us every day of our life. Will we get it perfect? Will we shine in glory before we leave this life? No. It can't be that way. But we have God's word on it that He is day by day renewing us, that His Holy Spirit is at work in the word being preached, putting our sins to death, taking us from being obsessed with our earthly lives, our obligations that take us away from His word, and clearing our thoughts and clearing our hearts, purifying us so that we are rendered to God the way that He has always meant us to be, and ordering our days according to our new creation, setting our hearts on things that are above, where Christ is, where our real life is. Our real life isn't found in our jobs or our school or in the things of this life and money that in and out day after day. Our life is found in the salvation that God has won for us, in an inheritance and a kingdom that was won for us without a single dime on our part, without a single finger lifted on our part. Jesus did it for us. He did it for you. So that while you do live with the money and the temporal rulers and the temporal good and the schools and the activities, you have hope that when it's taken away, when the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, you can still bless the name of the Lord, the name that was put on you in your baptism, because that name marked you as one who belongs to God, not just for this life, but for all of eternity, and called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, a light that is going to be revealed on the last day, and which we will dwell in forever and ever. This has been God's plan for us from before the foundation of the world. In Romans chapter 8, and I'll just read this, St. Paul says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." God's plan for every single human being is to bring us out of being that broken, lost, corrupted image into looking exactly like Jesus Christ, in whom every believer will stand perfected and sinless and holy on the last day and even forevermore. The image of Jesus Christ is the image that God is restoring us to. And because of that, Jesus, our Savior, is the one who rendered to God the things that none of us could. He paid the price of our sin. He paid the tax, so to speak, that was owed because of our sins by offering up his sinless body and soul on the cross. And because he paid it, your way is paid for. You are free. You have a kingdom and an inheritance that has no end because of Jesus. And by his Holy Spirit, you are, each day of your life that you stay in the faith, stay in the Word, stay in worship, stay among the communion of saints, and don't forsake your inheritance for a pittance, for the things that the world can offer. Every day that you stay in that inheritance, God is renewing you after the image of his Son, the image that he created and the image that he desires for you to dwell in eternity with. So thanks and praise be to God for his glorious work of restoring that image to you and me in Christ Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.